Grace and peace to all of you today. Over the past week, I've reflected on the ways churches have redirected their ministries to internet platforms in just a couple of days' time. Some approaches have worked well, and others, well, not so much. I applaud the efforts at engagement. All churches are facing the same challenge because all our congregations were scattered, and our well-laid plans were thrown into the burn pile a week and a half ago. Deep down, I wonder if the instinctive desire to replicate church as usual online is an effort to self-soothe. When faced with so much uncertainty, change, and loss, it's a way of saying that our situation can't be so severe. If church, which never changes, comes to us in the way it always has, then things can't be too far off center. If we give in to that instinct, though, I don't think we would be telling the truth. I think this season will be profoundly inspiring and deeply challenging to us, individually and as a congregation. Our life stories are being rewritten and revised right before our eyes, and we don't even know what we don't know about what will bring it all to a conclusion. Now, more than ever, we must learn to listen to the still, small voice of God calling to us amidst the clamor and alarm. The very first question Anna, Jay, Danny, and I wrestled with in this new time was what to do about worship. After all, this is a once-in-a-generation experience, and the church has an important word to speak, but how? We had concerns about the popular alternatives. Text message from a friend last week says much about our first worry. All this is going to break the internet. Most churches have not perfected their technological infrastructure to ensure successful, high-quality live streaming. We didn't want to send out something of poor quality just to say we did it and run the risks that accompany unpracticed technological exercises. Besides, not all of Yates' worshipers readily access internet resources, and we don't want to facilitate worship that knowingly excludes some of the beloved community. Also, worship with Yates, as we like to do it, cannot be accomplished without a congregation in the room. There is something about being together, in the same house, with the Holy Spirit, that cannot be fabricated for live stream. Maybe most importantly, we didn't want to reinforce the notion that the congregation is an audience, passively viewing Christian worship, or worse, consuming a worship product. When this happens, worship can become an end unto itself that need not look beyond its own ritual and routine. It is quite possible to set ourselves up to worship our worship rather than the one to whom it is intended to point. We settled on a simpler, broadly accessible approach for Yates to experience and share worship in unity while maintaining flexibility for each individual, small group, or family at home. I hope all my ruminations about internet worship haven't distracted you from the important question for today. The pressing question for us is not, how will we do worship? The most important question is, what do we say? For guidance, we turn to the worship book of ancient Israel and take our cue from Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Today we hear a song of surrendered silence before God and God alone. It's a little harder to detect in translation because the Hebrew is almost untranslatable, but the word rendered only or alone occurs 6 times in the first 9 verses. All the repetition sets a tone of special earnestness, provides us with a sharp spiritual focus. In the litany of life's challenges and victories that follows, the psalm celebrates God's place at the center of our past, present, and future lives. I hope you can hear it echoed in the hymns that we sing this morning. The message is direct and simple. Do not let your power, or lack of it, erode your trust in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. I can imagine this psalm being sung when King David sat with authority on his throne. And I can hear it sung when his dynasty was finally destroyed and the people scattered in exile by Babylon. This is a psalm for the best day you can remember, and one you never wanted to imagine. In great times and horrible ones, Psalm 62 calls God's people to incline their lives again toward the one who calls them to worship. We are called to worship because that is how we celebrate being at home with God. At home with God, no matter where our lives are situated. I don't know where you are today, or even how you are. Take heart. In worship, we celebrate that God is with us in a powerful and loving way. It is a glimpse, in concentrated form, of God's enduring presence with us at all times and in all places. Worship directs our whole lives toward God, who is already present with us. In our silent surrender, worship trains hearts and minds to perceive God's presence, hear God's word, and receive the spiritual gifts to build up one another and share with a hurting world. We all, together, worship as the body of Christ. Christ, who in silent surrender gave his very life to bear God's transforming love to us with resurrection power. For Wuhan, for Vo Yujianyo, and for Durham. Power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. I encourage you to rest in that word as you worship today, then begin to act on it. How? Well, that is up to you. Look around. Be creative. In times like these, creativity might be the best thing we've got to work with.